The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. Can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch. Comment there. And if you missed the first hour, it was happy hour.
Fred looks like an Oompa Loompa right now.
No, an Oompa Loompa is like my left leg. I mean, come on.
But I think your coloring is what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I looked at myself on Twitch, and I look very flush.
Oh, I'm very red right
You're
now.
You're almost always red, though. Like you.
Well,
you kind of...
part of it's the lighting. I mean, it's like I always look red on camera here. But
you're more flush than usual
as
well.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not going to deny that.
Boy, look at that. How do we do, Aaron? I assume you're going to be an unbiased judge of this. How do we do on making sure we were talking on mic and things like that? That's my biggest complaint from the last few happy hours. And I want happy hour to keep going. I'm having fun with it, but I want to make sure it's still good radio, not just good Twitch. Did everybody talk on mic? Was it better?
We still need we're at about probably 80%.
Okay.
There's just a little bit of offside conversations or asking somebody, like asking Nick a question while he's pouring shots. We just need to make sure we've got the microphone in his face.
Well, I mean, that, you know.
We're getting there.
We did a lot better this week.
The best bits always take a little bit to, sharpen. So we're getting there. It's going
to
be perfect.
Well, we're not used to doing bits. We're used to kind of just doing off the cuff stuff. So the fact that we're doing this as a bit now means we really have to focus a little more. So that's okay.
The mega shot's so gross.
Yeah,
so here's what we're going to do from now on. We're going to have two people drink the mega shot, every week, and it's going to get worse.
It's
going to keep getting worse
as we keep adding stuff. I'm not feeling that great. I'm not going to lie. I feel like that is kind of wasted because Tyler kind of big timed you on that.
He did.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But sorry. I wanted it to be better. I wanted us to be better about mic discipline. I feel like we were.
We have to drink better. We have to coach better. Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Well, we're getting there.
We did. No, it was better this week. No question. But there also does need to be a little bit of, you know, randomness, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what makes it work. So I think 80% is about the right number. Just my humble.
I mean, for having all of us in here drinking, acting crazy, that it was pretty good. It was honorable, definitely. And it was a vast improvement from last week. I know that.
And Stu says everybody needs to get on the Twitch. This is the best. I mean, I'm having fun on Twitch on happy hours, but I also want to keep the people listening on the radio happy because they're the people who have meters and
right.
are rating. That's what's important
and
to
you can
me.
Listen to 92.5 or 97.5.
Yes. Yes.
So, okay, just between us, the three of us, and, you know, however many people are listening, you're a little worried that Simple Jack's going to show up here one day with a machete and just start chopping people up?
No, I think he's a peaceful guy.
Yeah.
And he went to a Jesus college.
Oh, that's that. Now I'm convinced. I'm scared. He has that look. He's going to snap one day because we make fun of him too much. Yeah.
I don't think he would snap. I think he would find some followers and start a cult and get them to snap.
BS Flea just called me the BOB of 97.5. Can you block him on Twitch, Aaron? Let's just get rid of him.
You don't.
I'm done with that.
You don't like being called Bill O'Brien.
I've been blocking people.
Why
for
would
that.
He call you that?
I don't know. Bill O'Brien letting his guys have fun. I feel like I'm about the most fun. I certainly think I'm the most fun boss in this building. Like, I've got to be the most fun guy in management.
Hmm. I mean, people kind of forget I'm in management because I've been gone for a while.
But you don't manage anyone anymore because you're out of sports management. Well, so you're still like...
Well, we're about to. That's right. The big announcement, by the way. That
I'm more fun than you anyway. You're past your prime. You've already admitted this.
No, I'm past my drinking prime, but I'm still more fun than you.
I don't know about that. Well, maybe.
But I also have an advantage. I don't have to deal with... I only have to deal with people that I've picked.
Right.
I don't have to deal with the people I inherited.
I inherited a big staff.
And that's a pain in the ass. But but for those of you who've been, I've been talking about Project X for a while, and we tweeted it out today, and the news is out there. Jerry Bowe and I are launching a national sports betting site, basically, Sports Map Bets. We'll have phase one of it's going to come out pretty soon. We're actually partnering with Sports Grid, if you're familiar with them. We're going to have their content. And we're also going to have a secondary site, which will be Sports Map Elite, which will be a subscription site. And it won't just be picks. You're going to get all kinds of cool stuff there. Like on big race days, like for instance, the Breeders' Cup, I'm going to sit there and just live Twitch all day. And here's my picks. And here's what I'm doing. Here's why I'm looking at it this way. And we'll do that for NFL and stuff like that. And that's going to launch. I don't know the exact launch date. But there are, if you are a handicapper who wants some exposure, because we've got the Sports Map Radio Network behind this too, it's going to be a really big site. Not paying up front, but eventually we'll pay. But if you're interested, sportsmapbets@yahoo.com. Just send us an email. We're going to add a bunch of handicappers. I want some young up and coming people who want attention. And that's what, you know, Jerry and I are looking for. And the site's, I can't give you a launch date for the site yet, but it's in the works. I've got several big time investors interested in this. So I'm working on that part of it now. And which once that's done, we'll be ready to go. And it's going to be a cool site. Jerry and I have been working on this for a while. And it's just a matter of pushing the button and saying, hey, it's time to go. But we want to have some people set up for it, and I think it's going to be fantastic. It's you know, there's a lot of sites out there trying to do this. There's nobody that can do everything we can do and have a network behind it, so it's going to be a monster. It's going to be I'll predict this right now, it's going to be the most profitable thing in this entire company within 2 years.
Okay.
And I firmly believe that.
We'll keep you around then if that happens.
I think you guys will want to keep me around, so but no, there's going to be some cool stuff. And yeah, it's not, I mean, I don't want people to think we're going to be in the tout game with this. I mean, the elite site's going to be a lot of stuff. Like we'll have, you know, we're not going to just give picks. We'll get picks, but we're also going to talk theory and things like that. And just a lot of in-depth stuff that you can't get anywhere else. And I'm really excited about it. And yes, for those, a lot of people have asked, is this why you left pregame? Yeah, because my picks are going to go there. But I don't know when that's going to happen, and I didn't want people to commit for a full season on pregame. So, but yes, I'm very excited about it. We've got a lot happening with that, and I honestly believe this is going to be the coolest thing I've ever been involved with, other than the show. So,
thanks for the caveat.
Well, you know, I do like the show.
It feels kind of phony, but I'll take it.
Really?
I mean, it feels like, you know.
Well, if you want, well. Okay. Okay, how about this? It's going to be financially the most successful thing I've ever been involved with.
Okay, I'll take that.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Because as well as we do with the show, it's, yeah. But anyway, that's what it's about. We've been talking about this for a while, and that's what Project X is. Now, having said that, I also have Project Y, which I'm not ready to talk about yet, but that's another one that's going to be very, you know, all I'm trying to do here is... We're trying to build some things that will enable us to keep doing radio for a long time.
Yeah.
That's it. And so that's kind of my thing is I've sort of become the startup guy, which, is kind of cool. I had so much fun with SportsMap, and we built that up great, and now Josh is doing great with it. And this one I hope will be the same thing. Jerry and I are going to build this thing up into a monster, and then we'll turn it over to somebody and you know, move on to the next project. So anyway, I'm real excited about it. I think you guys are going to love it. And it's some of the things we've already put together are just fantastic. So 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And, somebody asked, are you competing with pregame? No, not really. This is a totally different thing. because we're not doing like individual guys that you can go in and buy their stuff. You're just going to play once a month, a flat fee. You're going to get everything we do, and it's not all picks. It's going to be a lot of cool stuff well beyond just getting picks. So it's not really a competitor to pregame, but I don't see any way that I could do both because I want, you know, people to, yeah, you know, what I think will be fun is one of my things is like when I sit there and handicap horses during the day, sometimes I do it on the fly. It'd be really fun to be on Twitch and say, okay, here we go. We're going to handicap this race and let's go through this and let's go through this. And that way people kind of get the thought process.
Yeah.
So that's the plan. Very excited. And you know where you can bet? MyBookie. That's the beautiful part is you can just go to MyBookie right now, get signed up, enter promo code radio, get 100% match on your first deposit, and get in there and play. And we're going to give you some NFL picks here at some point today. And that's the place to go do it. College plays, that's the place to go do it. You want to get on the NBA, NHL, any of this stuff, it's all on MyBookie. You want Jerry's soccer picks, which, by the way, he does really well with, and you want to get something going on in the morning, MyBookie.ag. Promo code radio, and they're going to match your first deposit 100%. And the cool thing is, when you actually win here, they pay you. It's that simple. There's a lot of these sites where putting your money in is part of the gamble. That's not it with MyBookie. You win, you actually get paid. And you can play everything. Parlays, live betting is really awesome on this site. Totals, lines, they have it all. MyBookie's going to match your first deposit 100%. Just enter promo code radio when signing up. MyBookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.
I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's going to be forever. Or it's going to go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, excuse me. And you know what that music means, A.J.?
I do know what that means. Talk to my old co-host, who was way more professional than you, Fred.
Okay.
Except he hated working with me, I'm pretty sure. More, no. He hated it more than you did.
I don't really hate it. I just don't love it.
Right.
Yeah.
Craig Way, the voice of the Texas Longhorns. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Arthur. Good to visit with you. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, old friend?
I'm wonderful, doing great, and it's not true. I did enjoy working with you, but you sound remarkably the same as you've always sounded. But, so it, as deliciously acerbic as you have always been.
Now, Craig, when they first told you you were going to host the show with me, what was your initial thought? Be totally honest. I can take it.
It was, really? But I also knew that you had already made great progress in this industry and probably would continue to make great progress, and I might learn a thing or two as well. So I look forward to it, and I enjoyed it. I really did.
Okay, I did too. I always had a good time with you. I know that there were times where I made you a little bit uncomfortable, but I thought that we had some good chemistry. So I always enjoyed our show together. Craig, listen, there was a lot of doubt about whether this season was even going to happen or not, but Texas off to a good start last week, at least on the field, right?
Yeah, and as to doubts, AJ, I guess Baylor and Houston are still doubting, right? If things are going to get going, what a bizarre story that is. But you're right. You know, I think that that it was good, that there was a great deal of concern, and because, you know, what's all the words we're using? Unprecedented times, all of those things where we just really weren't sure what the next thing, the next shoe to drop, what's going to be the next thing that'll happen. And we've seen several of those next things. Fortunately for Texas, once they got back into fall camp workouts, they went the entire month of August and up to this point in September without a positive COVID case. So it worked out well. Their bubble and their procedures and protocols worked out. But of course, that doesn't mean you can control anybody else's. And they were hoping that UTEP's worked out okay, especially since they had a game the week before against Stephen F. Austin, and it did work out. And now they're hoping that the challenges that Texas Tech has had with the reported 75 total cases, but 69 recovered and 6 active cases, whatever it is all cleared up, and that they can go next Saturday afternoon in Lubbock to open Big 12 conference play. So the uncertainty, there's no doubt, it's still there, and it's probably going to be there throughout the rest of the season. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but at least they feel good in that they were able to get the season underway. And so far, so good.
Now, credit where it's due, Texas did what they were supposed to do against UTEP, who is essentially an FCS team in disguise. I mean, they're if not the worst, they're one of the worst FBS teams in the entire country. And Texas made them look like that. But obviously, you can't really take anything away from it. What were your thoughts coming into this season if they were to play? How do you feel like Texas matches up against the Big 12?
Well, assuming everything comes off as scheduled, I like their chances to compete and to be a contender in the league. Look, but we'd be foolish if we said that the favorite in the conference was anybody other than Oklahoma. They have the track record. They have the skins on the wall. They got the 5 consecutive conference titles. The road to the conference championship goes through Norman. Or, since Texas and OU play in Dallas, it goes through the Metroplex. First Dallas and then Arlington, one way or another. But I do like their chances. I like the fact they've got veterans in key positions. I do think they have the best quarterback in the Big 12 Conference. There's other good ones, and I think we'll see Spencer Rattler really emerge as an outstanding quarterback at OU. But I think the veteran leadership of Sam Ehlinger, plus what he's done, gives him an edge over a lot of quarterbacks. I like that. And their offensive line is veteran, and they've got some veterans in key spots. And, A.J. and some of the areas where they've had some question marks going into the season, like the receivers being real young, we saw some positive signs there last week. And I'm in complete agreement with you. We know what UTEP is and what that was all about. It's, but that's, you play one of those games. Since you're only going to get one before the start of conference play, it should be a game that would be, at the very least, manageable, but where you could still see a lot of guys. And they were able to play everybody under the sun. Yeah, my son Andy is my spotter. He was staying real busy with the flip card and the depth chart. And we have an extra sheet just for walk-ons, reserves, and freshmen. And he had that in his hand the entire second half. So that was a good thing in that respect.
Kansas, Iowa State, Kansas State. Not a good start for the Big 12 outside of Texas and Oklahoma, really. Is there concern that, they're really in a situation where, if you lose one game in the Big 12, you're at risk of not being worthy of a playoff spot because the Big 12 appears to be pretty down outside of the very top?
Yeah, they're not playing Sun Belt school, right? Since they went 0-3 against those 3 Sun Belt teams, really, really strong. And then, of course, Houston Baptist, an FCS from the Southland, really gave Texas Tech a battle 1 week after Houston Baptist gave up 721 yards of offense to North Texas. And I'm not here to brag on my alma mater because they're going to be relatively mediocre this year. So that should tell you a little bit about some of the struggles that the Big 12 may encounter. I think they're very top-heavy, AJ. I think it's Oklahoma, and then Texas and Oklahoma State, I think, are on a pretty even par. And we'll find out a little more about the Cowboys tomorrow when they play Tulsa, a week later than they were originally going to play. So we'll find out a little more about them tomorrow. But I think we know that, they've got veterans in a lot of places. They're going to be a contender. Other than those three, Baylor and TCU don't know that much about. TCU's still trying to find a quarterback right now. And Baylor, of course, wants to see what they have. But they had to call off the game with Houston because of not following the right protocols and contact tracing. So they have to wait another week and maybe it gives Texas a little bit of a jump, and Oklahoma, a little bit of a jump. We'll find out down the road. But I do think it really is kind of top-heavy with Oklahoma and then Texas and Oklahoma State, the other two contenders.
Well, Baylor, I'm considering Baylor 0-1. They lost to coronavirus, so you can't get that one back. Who's the running back for Texas? Is there a number one guy, or is it just going to be sort of a bunch of guys getting a bunch of carries until someone sort of separates himself from the pack?
In a word. But Tom Herman has said that from the start, that they were all very, very close. They all merited the right to play. We saw all three of them play quite a bit, and all the three of them contributed. I will tell you this. Everybody was very excited about Roschon Johnson coming back for his sophomore year. Keontae Ingram had a great bowl game and was completely healthy. And then Bijan Robinson was one of the top recruits in the country, if not the number one running back, certainly one of the tops, and he flashed a few things. So, I do believe, though, AJ, that the way that the reps are cut up in practice, that it would be difficult for one guy to just absolutely stand free and clear, going into a game. One guy is really going to have to shine far more than the other two in game action in order for there to be separation at that position, at least for the first few weeks.
Let me ask you about some off-the-field things. First of all, I want to know how the game day experience was. What was different about, DKR than it would normally be for an opener? And how was it different not only for the fans, but how was it different for you?
Well, there were definite differences. Obviously, folks know about what it was like with the fans. They had somewhere in the neighborhood of 18,000 fans there because they're doing all that south end zone construction on the whole new football complex in the south end zone, and then they're going to have some suites backing into that complex when it gets all done for next year. So you have that. So it was going to cut down even at 25% capacity. The 25% was going to equal about 18,000 seats, which is about what they've – listen, you remember what it was like when you used to go to a spring game. It kind of looked like that. It felt a little like that if you were there for that. Now, completely different in the press box, they limited it to 20 media total. So, like each of the campus websites, the .coms, they got one credential. The Austin American Statesman, which normally just floods that press box with people, some of whom actually work, they had a grand total of two credentials in the deal. Our own radio network, which normally has seven people working right down there, six people between the booth and the other, was limited to four. So, and of course, Roger Wallace and I had a plexiglass between. It's kind of like what you've seen in the NBA bubble. We had that working between us. So it was different in that regard. But once the game kicked off, AJ, it was football. I mean, we were into calling the game and doing it how it was. It was football, and I'm happy and grateful and thankful that we were able to call a game from the stadium, and that right now the plan is that we'll continue to do it on the road as well. So it won't be bubble calling it from home. We're planning to be in Lubbock next week in the Big 12. Unlike the ACC and the NFL, is allowing each radio network to have its own sideline reporter. Can't have a parabolic microphone. Had to get rid of that position for this year. But we do have Laquan Cosby's down there on the sideline. So, there were adjustments to be made, no doubt. But once the game kicked off and we got into it, football's football.
Tom Herman seems to be a really, really forgiving guy when it comes to talented players, and B.J. Foster is the latest of a number of guys who have really had some questionable decisions that Tom Herman's kind of said, okay, I'm going to let it slide this time. But B.J. Foster, who allegedly quit in the second half of that game, like, has he come out and given any kind of statement as to why he did what he did? And why do you think Tom Herman's been so patient with these guys since he's been at Texas?
I'll answer the second part first, AJ. I, having seen it over the last 3 years, now into his fourth season, they all, they bunker in together. And I said this on my own show, is that none of us, we're not in that locker room. We're not on that practice field every day. I haven't even really been able to go to practice because of their own unique bubble, the way that they have it set up, and it must be working since they haven't had any COVID cases, not allowing anybody else outside other than their group to be in there. But even going back last year and the year before, I've seen how he connects with those guys, and they feel they could trust him. And we saw, over the summer, the way he aligned himself with his guys when they did the walk to the Capitol with all the social unrest going on. And they knew that he had, as he said then, yeah, I got their back, but I have their front too. And he was out front walking with them because he believed in that. He's always been very outspoken as well about the name, image, and likeness thing. He said they should be able to profit from all of that. So he's been very upfront about that, and I think they're grateful for that. I think a better example than B.J. Foster is Joshua Moore. I mean, Josh Moore from Yoakum, and a kid that had a good freshman season going 2 years ago until he broke his collarbone halfway through the year, and then he had a gun charge, a weapons charge, which was later dropped, but had it the off season, and Tom brought him in and said, "Listen, I love you," and he had been talking to him since Tom was at U of H, and said, "But I can't let you back onto the team without really paying a price." He said, "If you really want to be a part of this team, you're going to have to show me." So every week, that kid was running with the scout team, doing the grunt work, all that other stuff, and then had to sit and not play every single week. And he knew it. And in a media availability this week, he said, "I cried every week when I go." He said, "But I knew," and he goes, "Coach Herman didn't have to do that. He didn't have to bring me back." He said, I had to pay my price, and I did." He said, "I did my time, and he gave me another chance, and I'm grateful to him for that." So I think he feels, a kinship to those guys. And I think the same thing holds true for B.J. Foster. You know, in talking to Keandre Coburn and DeMarvian Overshown, a couple of the guys this week, as well as Josh Moore, they said they were all asked about B.J. They said, he's a brother of ours. We all go through things, and we'll get through this together. They did not view it in the same prism, I think, A.J., that you or I or other media, certainly not fans, would view it in terms of the quote-unquote quitting the thing. They viewed it as him losing his cool, getting upset, walking off. But he showed up the next day, for weightlifting and is ready to go. It's almost like that episode of Seinfeld where George Costanza gets fired and keeps coming to work every day. You know, he's ready to go back to work and just forget the whole thing. So I think they look at it differently than how we outside their own bubble do view it.
Let me give you one more sort of off the field thing before we let you go. Craig Way, voice of the Longhorns, joining us here on the Blitz. The Eyes of Texas, what was it like? How many guys participated? Because obviously that's something we didn't see on TV. What was it like, when that song played? How many guys stuck around? How many guys headed to the locker room before and after the game?
Well, first of all, of course, before the game, they're all in the locker room
right before.
So they're not there for the anthem. They're not there for that. That's been standard practice because the way the countdown game clock works. Post game, I didn't see anybody stick around for it, but to be honest with you, AJ, with the band not there, it was going to be recorded music, and I swear to you, it almost seemed like 3, 2, 1, final gun, and boom, it started. And normally, that's not the case. Normally, the band strikes up Texas Fight, then there's some walking around, then they get to that. Well, Eyes of Texas came right up. Well, there were guys, there were a couple of them went out there and were saying hi to a couple of guys that they knew from UTEP, and then everybody else was just jogging into the locker room. So I don't think, I didn't see anybody really stand around for it, but it was done differently than it's been done. I'll be curious to see if it's done the same or differently for the TCU game, the next home game on October 3rd, because they were experimenting with a lot of things. They've got, they completely, Godzillatron is gone, so they've got a new board. So they've got that, and they're completely redoing it and still having to balance out things with sound and the echo and the audio and all of those kinds of things that they knew they were going to have challenges with once they got into an actual game. So it'll be interesting to see how they do it coming up in a couple of weeks.
Well, one more question, Craig, and it's his fourth year there, Tom Herman's fourth year. you know, obviously there was Charlie Strong was there before, and there was some, you know, some early pressure on him, and he never really fought out of it. Tom did have that 2018 where Texas was back, baby, and it seemed like everything was heading in the right direction. Last year was a step back. What kind of pressure is there on Tom to have a successful season this year, and how are the fans grasping to him, and do you think Tom is the right guy for this job?
Well, I think that there's certainly expectation, and there's no expectation bigger than what I've heard Tom say about them, what the players say. They put it on themselves as much as anybody else would. One major difference, probably the biggest difference between Tom's time at Texas and Charlie's time at Texas, each through the first three seasons, Charlie went 6-7, 5-7, and 5-7. You know, Tom went 7-6, 10-4, and 8-5. Now, if the 8-5 had come in the second year, I think there would have been less grumbling in the 10-4 the third year, because folks would still look at it as a ramp up. That's not the way it went down, however, as we know. It went 10-4. They had an impressive win over Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and so there were big and exciting things forecast for it, and it didn't happen last year. It took a step back. Had to win the bowl game to finish 8-5, and it was really impressive. Utah was a good team, and they roundly dominated the team, and they won all three bowl games under Tom, but they want more than that. Everybody wants more than that, and they said, and Tom said, they're not going to shy away from talking about contending for a conference championship. They all believe it. They believe they should be in the thick of the fight and have a real shot at the very least get to Arlington, if not find a way to win it.
All right, that is Craig Way, voice of the Longhorns. You can hear him every Saturday. You can follow him at CraigWay1 on Twitter. Appreciate the time, Craig, and best of luck this season. Always appreciate you taking some time for us over here, man, and I'll talk to you soon, bud.
Anytime, AJ. I know you're a busy man at that building these days, so go. Keep rocking it.
All right, brother. Thank you, Craig.
You bet.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Carbach. If you haven't been out to Carbach lately, you've been missing out on my beer. Aaron, have you been yet? Have you gone to drink my s'more stout?
Not yet. That's on Slacker. My plan for this weekend.
Slacker, man. I don't know how much more they've got left of it, but do get out there and give it a try. They've got their Black is Beautiful as well. They've also got a Belgian quad with figs and dates on the board right now. That's just amazing. So some really good beers available right now since they've opened back up. They're breaking out the good stuff. They've got Carbachtoberfest right now. And of course, they've got the standards. They've got the Crawford Bach. They've got Love Street. They've got Hopadillo. All that good stuff always available there at the brewery. And they've got a great, great menu of food as well. Guys, stop by, check it out. They've got sports on the big screen. Good brew, good food. It's a great time. But more importantly, make sure when you go out to the bars and the restaurants as they start to open back up, you ask the bartender for a Carbach. And make sure when you're out at the grocery store, make sure you take home some Carbach.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. I want to remind you that late hits, Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock tonight at 7. Jason's already out there hanging out with the party that's
calling
going
people
on.
Bitches.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do the show, bitch. Joining us now is a guy that I just have the utmost respect for, a former colleague of mine at the Houston Chronicle, Eric Berger. He's the founder of SpaceCityWeather.com. I was hoping when we had him on last time to talk about Laura that it would the next time we had him on it would be to talk about something cool
in
space. I
hate when we have this guy on.
I know, but it's nothing personal, Eric. It's just every time we do, there's something going on in the Gulf. So how's it going, man?
Man, I'm ready for this tropic season to be over. That's for sure.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about space launches, man. And instead, we've got this depression, which I don't even know what the thing's going to be named. I was reading your site, and now it was supposed to be what Wilfred, and then Alpha, and now it's going to be Beta.
Now it has been officially been named Tropical Storm Beta. It's been a wild day in the tropics. We had Wilfred form in the deep tropics, and we had Alpha form off the coast of Portugal. If you look at the Hurricane Center map, it's like you can't even see it because their map doesn't go that far. And now we finally have Beta.
How many times have we gotten into gotten to the alphabet for a second time?
Right, so there's about 21 named storms in the A through Z alphabet, although they don't use Z and Q and a couple other letters. We have gotten into the Greek alphabet twice. The first time was 2005. That was the year of Katrina and Rita, which people may remember. And then and this is the second time now in 2020, and we're already on the Beta storm. So yay, Houston.
So I know, and I read your article, so I know it's still, I read your partner's article today. It's still kind of up in the air what's going to happen here. But best guess on how, we're probably going to get some impact from this, right?
Yeah, we're definitely going to see some rain. So the big issue is what happens early next week. So we're pretty confident that the storm is going to move north. And then, we had this front blow through today, and you're really going to be able to feel that tonight and tomorrow morning. But the front is going to basically, high pressure is going to come in after that, and that's going to turn the storm west toward Texas. And so we think by Monday, the center of Beta is going to come near the South Texas coast somewhere, probably south of Corpus Christi. So for Houston, the question then is next week, when that storm eventually lifts to the north or northeast, is that going to come into Texas and like over Houston, in which case there'd be a lot of rain here? You could see like 20 inches of rain in Galveston and 5 to 10 inches in Houston. Or is it going to go kind of along the coast or off the coast? And if that's the case, then we're looking at more like, 2 to 6 inches of rain, maybe a little bit more along the coast. So it's we don't know where ultimately it's going to go. And so predicting accurate rainfall totals for next week is just not possible right now.
Yeah, I guess this is more of a rain event than a wind event, unlike Laura.
Yeah. The winds are going to, so this storm could become a Category 1 hurricane, although I'm not convinced it will, and it's got to fight some battles. Particularly, it's going to face some dry air from this front, and so we think it's going to be maybe a high-end tropical storm. Galveston could see some tropical storm force wind gusts, Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. But the concerns are water levels along the coast probably going to be 3 or 4 feet above normal. And that will affect low-lying areas. But for most of the community, it's definitely just a rain event.
Well, some positive news is, I guess, today was awesome. Tomorrow's going to be awesome. We're kind of getting a couple of nice late summer days.
Yeah. This evening, when the sun goes down, it's going to feel great. Same thing tomorrow. It's going to be, upper 80s, relatively low humidity. So compared to, like, the 100 days of summertime hell we've had in Houston, I think this will feel pretty nice.
Yeah, I'm really bummed that the UH game got postponed because I was planning to go to one of my favorite watering holes, sit outside, watch the game, and enjoy this nice weather before we get rained on. But they didn't cooperate.
There are no nice things in 2020. I think that's probably got to be your expectations.
So if you had to guess, we're kind of in the near the end of where the heart of this thing is. Is this probably the last one we're going to have to deal with?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Fred. I think that, we're going to have to deal with this, and then we get to the end of September, and, I don't see any immediate follow-on threats after Beta. Talking about dropping some Beta in September is pretty ridiculous if you're a meteorologist, but I don't see any follow-on threats. And, really when Texas gets into October, our chances of seeing direct strike from a hurricane really, really fall off a cliff. So I think this is probably not ready to guarantee it, though, sorry.
Well, and it is weird. It does seem like we get a lot of these. The ones that really become a threat to us are the ones that develop right there in the Gulf, as opposed to the big ones that come through the Leeward Islands and things like that. Is there some scientific reason for that? There's more danger with one that just like forms off the Yucatan or something like that?
We get all kinds. Particularly in September, we usually get the long track cyclones that you're talking about that spin up off of Africa, move across the Atlantic, and eventually into the Gulf and affect you know, affect us. That was the case certainly with Hurricane Ike. And Laura, too, was a storm, you know, long before it got to the Caribbean. So, you know, we see both. This obviously is a closer-in threat. The southern Gulf of Mexico is really warm this time of year. If there wasn't wind shear right now, this thing would be really, really blowing up. So, you know, fortunately, we don't expect it to be that.
All right, that's Eric Berger. Eric, tell the people where they can get all your stuff, because I got to tell you, if you're at all interested in what's going on in the weather, Eric's the man, and space for that matter. So tell people how they can get everything.
Thanks. You can just go to spacecityweather.com, Google Space City Weather, whatever, and find our site there and all our social information. But just kind of no-nonsense information for what people can expect with the weather. Thanks for having me on tonight.
I appreciate you, man, and I really appreciate that you're not a scare tactic guy, man. You're just always straightforward and honest about what we can expect, worst and best case scenarios, and that's what we like to give the people. So we appreciate you coming on, and we got to get together for a beer sometime soon.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
All right, that's Eric Berger. He's the best, guys. If you're not following him, then you just don't care about your weather. That's how I feel.
Jerks.
but one thing I like about Eric is. He's not one of those guys that's just trying to scare the hell out of you so you'll keep clicking. I mean, they just give you really honest stuff, and if there's something to worry about, he'll tell you. That's why when he says there's something to worry about, I worry. So, all right, do I have time to do my gym of the day?
Yeah, sure.
The Zadok Jewelers gym of the day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
We go to Florida, of course, and I'm kind of curious where you come down on this. I know how I feel about it, but a Florida dad is very unhappy because, hey, can you tell those guys to keep it down a little bit out there? I know they're having fun, but when I can hear Trey screaming over my headphones, that's getting pretty loud. So a dad likes to take his kids to Hooters for wings.
Taking my kids to Hooters. Yeah,
nothing wrong with that, right? He bought him a Hooters mask, and it's not a mask with the owl on it or boobs or anything like that. It's just a mask that says Hooters. Kid wears the mask to school. He's a fifth grader. Teacher and principal go nuts and tell him he has to remove the mask. He can't wear a Hooters mask to school.
Okay.
Hey, man, fuck that. The dad says he told me it was deemed offensive. I told him we go there as a family, we eat their wings, we watch sports. I said we have chocolate cake. We go there all the time. It's not an offensive mask. I'm kind of with him on this.
I don't understand how that's offensive. But...
Yeah. Then he goes on to say, do we feel women's bodies are offensive? I don't know. I don't. The principal told me it was inappropriate. I said, I don't understand why it's inappropriate. There's nothing wrong with that mask. I'm with Florida Dad here. There's nothing wrong with the Hooters mask, especially like if you wanted to do like, a picture of boobs on there? Okay. Fifth grader shouldn't be wearing that. But an orange mask that just says Hooters like 20 times? That's ridiculous.
That is pretty ridiculous.
He said it's not going to stop him from taking his family to Hooters. We do like the chicken wings. They have the best chicken wings, he said.
There was a time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with no. Not anymore.
Not anymore. There was a time when they had really good wings, but... There's been a lot of other places sort of passing by now. So, anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Curious what some of our teacher listeners think about that. Would they be offended by a Hooters mask?
I don't know. Should I send my kid to school in a Hooters mask?
There's other masks that I have that people would be more offended by, frankly, than a Hooters mask. But I don't get it. But I don't know. Maybe he's one of Kenneth Copeland's guys, and he's offended by that.
Maybe so.
The other one I had was, I had a guy who was basically doing a Dukes of Hazzard and jumping a drawbridge in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And got arrested for it.
It seems...
You probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Did he make it?
He made it, yeah.
Not a big deal.
So...
I'm for it, then.
And then I also had an Idaho preacher who was all about having all those people in his church and not wearing masks. He's in intensive care with the COVID. So that was your
not ideal.
No, that was your those were your potential jewels today. And can I do really quickly my positive non-pedo coronavirus update?
Please do it.
Only 626 new cases yesterday.
Okay.
Again, under 1,000. We're our trend is going really, really well. Man, I was listening to this Canada Talks, which is interesting because it's political Canadian talk, but they talk more about us than they do them. But one of the things that they
our politics are more interesting.
Oh God, yeah, it. Yeah. Because all they can come up with is this charity scandal that they can't stop talking about, and it's just nothing. But they were talking about how in Ottawa you had a 12-hour wait. They're making people get tested, so if the parents have it, their kids can't go to school. 12-hour wait for corona testing.
Yeesh.
And they have to do it. And it's kind of like they won't do that saliva test for some reason because it's only 94% effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what the hell, guys?
It seems ridiculous.
Yeah, so that was what they were upset about. And I was kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm with you. I'm an elementary teacher in Galveston. That mask would be fine to me. It's not a strip club.
Yeah. It's a restaurant. I
have several teacher friends that have fake boobs or large boobs, and they would be fine with it.
Yeah.
I teach high school, and trust me when I say there are far more offensive things we see kids wearing than on campus than a Hooters mask.
That's probably safe.
All right. So that's our consensus so far. So, all right. 713-780-3776. When we come back, we'll do a we'll go through the NFL games.
Yep.
Because why not?
We've got we got Daniel Roman at 6:15.
6:15, yeah. The time.
Dude, do you know what time it is?
We usually take two segments for it.
Well, we're gonna have to condense it.
We'll split it.
Okay.
We'll either condense it or we'll split it. If we don't get through the whole thing, it's no problem. But we'll go through the games. I mean, we already went through them once earlier this week, so there's not, I mean, there'll be some changes, but there's not that much. So
I know we like to give people a little bit more of a dive of, okay, blah 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 minus 5. Yeah, I like them.
We've kind of talked about some of these games.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, and if we have to split it, we'll split it. It's not a big deal. Maybe you should just put the brakes on this conversation, Aaron. And the place to do that is New Breaks. And guys, I've had several people reach out to me, several Blitzers that have said, thank you so much for hooking me up with New Breaks. NUBRAKES.com. Mention ESPN, 10% off your service. Here's what happens. They come to you. So I could have them come out right now while I'm on the show and fix my brakes. And they're affordable, and everybody said the same thing. They're fast, they're convenient, they're affordable, 20 to 50% more affordable than shops and dealers. And guys, no offense to any of our friends with auto shops, but right now, do you really want to go sit in an auto shop for hours while you're waiting to get your brakes fixed when these guys will come and do it for you? And you're going to get a transparent, surprise-free repair quote. And everything's sanitized, I mean, everything's social distance, and they come out and they take care of it, and boom, you are done. That's New Breaks. This is really a terrific company run by terrific people. Give them a try. NUBRAKES.com. NewBreaks.com. Mention ESPN. 10% off. NewBreaks.com.
ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.